returned from California out to look after my parents and do a little hiking in the hills. Somebody saw these guys in uniform this morning and said, oh, Trail Mix is here. And actually, fellas, I think I would claim that because just like the church, Trail Life takes anybody, right? Doesn't matter your ethnic background, whatever. Doesn't even matter your church background. We are one. So Trail Mix is good because the church is sort of Trail Mix, right? Some of you have been hearing about a trip to Israel we have planned for March. We're going to have a meeting in the fellowship hall right after service. If you have any interest in going, you really want to attend this meeting because we're going to start making decisions about whether we have enough people, whether we're going to make this trip or not. So please come to that today. I hope you picked up your booklets and started. We're on the Gospel of John now, studying about life in his name. You've got an opportunity to read through John, and we're doing John chapter 1 this morning, but you had an opportunity this week to begin reading through that for yourself and thinking about the text and responding to the questions in the booklet. If you've not done that, let me encourage you to pick that up and start now with that. I think you will be enriched by that. The sermon will mean so much more to you, and if you're in a home group, it will be even a greater blessing for you. I appreciate so much David picking out the psalm, Ancient Words, before the reading of Scripture, because we are people who believe that these ancient words have power for our lives. And I want to encourage you through the week to be reading through John as we go through John this fall. It is our custom that if you're a person who needs some prayer or wants some prayer, a couple of our elders and their wives will meet with you there in the conference room right after the sermon is over, which is out the back door and down to the left. They can meet with you there if you're interested in knowing more about the Lord. They can help you with that as well. If you're interested in being baptized into Christ, they can work with you. Of course, you always have the opportunity if you want to be baptized this morning. You can let us know immediately, and we will do that this morning. As we go into reflecting upon God's Word, I'd ask you to go with me in prayer. Father, we have come now to hear the preaching of your word. Come to reflect upon the message of your apostle John to those early Christians, but words that speak into our lives as well. And so, Father, now as we reflect on what it means to have your son, you, to become flesh and dwell among us, help us to reflect upon that meaning and then take that out into our lives this week. Through your son we pray. Amen. How many of you survived Katrina and Rita? If you were here for those, I was not here, thankfully, for those. But if you recall those, you know, of course, lots of wind comes with those things. And, you know, something's not tied down. It's going where? It's going over to the next county or something like that, right? I had a similar experience to that this last week. We went backpacking in far northern California, Modoc County, up there in the Warner Mountains. And while we were there, we were attacked by this beast, Snowmageddon. A freak storm came through. I mean, this is summertime. A freak storm came through. We camped at 9,100 feet. But while we were hiking up there, this freak storm came through, and it dropped down into the 20s. And this white stuff started falling out of the sky. Would you have liked to have had some of that white stuff this last week? But this white stuff began falling out of the sky, and there was a little thunder along with it, so it was pretty exciting up there. But wind blew and blew and blew. So we hunkered down, got our tents out, got inside the tents, but those tents are flimsy and basically like kites in the wind, so you must stake them down, of course. Now, truth be told, the thing that really held the tent down was the 185 pounds laying inside of the tent. But when the wind blows, you need something to stake things down, to hold onto. There are a lot of winds blowing in our lives, are there not? Winds of change, winds of craziness, and things that are getting blown away in your life. And John comes to us and says, God has driven down a stake in our world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. In the beginning. Those are familiar words for us, of course, from the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you're a newcomer to the Gospel of John, you have to confess, this sounds a little odd, doesn't it? Just, if you've read John before, just think about it. If you've read it just now for the first time, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, what Word are we talking about here? And? The? Existential? What word are we talking about here? LOL? I guess that's not really a word, is it? But what word are we talking about here now? We know, of course, that words have power to them. You've experienced that, haven't you? Words like, I love you, have power. Or, you're fired. There's some power there too, right? Words are loaded with meaning, and they are a part of us, really, right? We know that. We hear these expressions, you're only as good as your word, right? Or you might tell somebody, I gave you my word, you have my word on it. Or someone says, just say the word. And that's true with God as well. There's something about God in His word. And so several times in the Old Testament, we hear this expression, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, or the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, as if the Lord himself is in this word. And we hear this from the prophet Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. But it's not long before we find out in the Gospel of John more about the Word. The Word is a person. He was in the beginning. All things were made through Him. In Him was life, and that life was the life of all mankind. He was with God and was God. Many parents have been known to say this word, don't make me come in there. Right? Because 10 times you have said, knock it off in there, quit carrying on so much, quit all the crazy stuff. And finally you say, don't make me come in there. It's the threat to say, I've sent you my word, but if I'm going to have to come, then there's really going to be trouble. You might remember a few years ago, there were these billboards going around purported to be messages from God, and there was one that sounded like the parent, don't make me come down there. Of course, the truth of the matter was, God was already come down here. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And God drove a stake into our world because He Himself has come into our world. No matter what the winds are blowing and what things are happening, God has come and brought a stake. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Dwelled literally as tabernacle. God set up His tent among us. And you can't help but think about connotations in the Old Testament of that tent, that tabernacle in which God dwelled in it, the very presence and glory and Spirit of God in this tent. But now He's not in a tent. He's in human form. God became flesh. A lot of presidents like to pitch themselves as being one of the people, don't they? And presidential candidates are doing that these days. Presidents fly into Iraq and they fly into Afghanistan and they meet with troops and shake their hands and ask about them and see how they're doing. But the truth is, presidents are not like those soldiers at all. Presidents don't go out and look for IEDs. Presidents don't sit around eating MREs. Presidents don't hurry up and wait. And so they're truly not one of the people. But the Word became flesh, like you and I, light and darkness. God was fully human. Why is it that God has become fully human? It's just this simple. God became human because you could not become God. So God has come to us, and He came to make us children of God. In the ancient world, of course, most people were quite poor. They had no inheritance. They had no future, which is something that's a little strange to us if you think about it in our land. We have a difficult time imagining that. No social security, no welfare system, no food stamps, no security net, nothing to catch you, no future. inheritance was only for the wealthy. Most of us don't live in any circumstances anywhere like that. I dare say that none of us in this room live in circumstances anything like that. We are rich. We have apartments. We have homes. We have cars. We have jobs. We have education. We have opportunity. Think about places in the world where people don't have any opportunity, even if they had an education. And you have the ancient world. We have something to hold on to. But what happens when all of that stuff that you hold on to, that security, gets blown away? What happens when you suddenly have no future? What happens when you die? Some of you are already there because you had important things taken away from you, just blown away from you in your life. Some of you are dealing with sickness or with death in your family. Some of you are dealing with financial loss. Some of you are dealing with divorce. It all gets blown away so easily. When we step off this merry-go-round of our busyness of life and all the things we're doing, we realize that ultimately we, in this life, in this world, have zero inheritance, none. Nothing that lasts. Nothing that's staked down, that can't be blown away. It can all be taken away unless you're children of the Almighty and Eternal God, and He has made you one of His children, and He has given you an inheritance. Listen to the way the Apostle Peter describes it. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Children of God. John is reminding his church, you are children of God. You are children of God. Don't forget it. You are children of God. Because sometimes in this world, when the winds blow, we become very distracted from being children of God. We become very distracted from the inheritance that we have. Sometimes we begin looking for something in this world that we can hold on to, a stake in this world rather than God's stake that He has put down in this world. Sometimes we become so overwhelmed with the stuff that's going on that we forget that God drove a stake. John tells his story to remind his church, you are children of God. And later when he writes this letter, 1 John, he has to remind them again. He says this to them, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. We have an inheritance. We are children of God. We have something to hold on to. We have this inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Because the Word became flesh. What if God showed up at church? What do you think that would be like? What if God showed up at church? Would we welcome Him? What if our religion doesn't conform to what He's like? Or what if He doesn't conform to the way we do religion? What if He challenged the way we do church? What if He said, you know, you're kind of missing the point in all the stuff you're doing? What if what He thought was important is not what we think is important? Dostoevsky, in his book, The Brothers Karamazov, talks about this. He talks about the Grand Inquisitor. You know, in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church held this Inquisition, and anybody who could not toe the line was considered a heretic and burned at the stake. And so they would call in the Inquisitor, and the Inquisitor would ask questions of the person that's been brought in accused to find out whether they were one of the true ones or not one of the true ones. Anyway, this one particular character was found. And so the Grand Inquisitor is called in to deal with this particular person, this very special person. And the Grand Inquisitor comes in and sits down with them, and he says, "I know who you are." And as the story goes on, you figure out that the person that the Inquisitor is talking to is none other than Jesus. And the Grand Inquisitor says, "There was a time that we needed you, but your time has passed. We don't need you here. The church doesn't need you here anymore." What if God showed up at church? How would we deal with him? John says this, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, the New Revised Standard Version says, the power. He gave the right, the power to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. His own children did not receive him. The very one who should have recognized him did not recognize him. John demonstrates, as you go through the story in the Gospel of John, how this is so. You have a man that Jesus heals. He's been born blind. And how do people respond? They reject him. You have Jesus feeding thousands of people, and they're trying to teach them. And how do they respond? They walk away. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. For John, receiving him is equated to believing in his name. But what does John mean by that, believing in his name? Are we talking about a sinner's prayer? Are we talking about a confession that someone makes before they are baptized? Actually, neither of those are on John's radar. But John will unpack, as you go through the story, exactly what he means by this. It comes out in the theme of the whole gospel that he writes in John chapter 20. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Believing, it comes down to this. It comes down to choosing sides. Are you on the side of Jesus or not on the side of Jesus? Because there's something to a name, isn't there? Believing in his name. If you go back to the 1700s, this is true, 1779 right here. Go back to the 1700s, 1776. It makes a difference what name you wear. Tory, patriot. It makes a difference. First few centuries of Christianity, a woman had been taught to be a follower of Jesus by a man in the community, and her husband didn't like it and had him hauled into court. And the judge asked the man one question: are you a Christian? The man said, yes, I am. And he ordered him to be taken out and executed. And somebody thought that was wrong in the audience, and they objected. You're not going to do anything but just ask him if he's a Christian or not? You're not going to ask him if he's committed any crimes? And the judge said, sounds like to me you're a Christian too, aren't you? And he said, yes. And the judge ordered him taken out and to be executed as well. There's something to a name, because you're choosing sides. It means you're buying in to the story that God is telling here and what he has done in Jesus Christ. It means you're drinking the Kool-Aid. It means that you're all in. To believe in his name, you have become his child, and now you have an inheritance. John said it's not a natural thing. It's not a natural kind of birth. It's not like you're just born into this. And of course, he's referencing people who are Jewish. They seem to be born into this. It's not a natural sort of thing. It's something that you become a child because you are a person who believes. Some of us are sort of like the Jewish folks, so we've been born into it, right? We were born into church. We were raised in church. We've always known church in our lives. But at some point, each one of us has had to decide for ourselves. Maybe it's when we went off to college, or maybe it was while we were in high school, or maybe it was when we were older as adults. We've had to decide, do I really believe this story that I've been raised to believe all my life? At some point, we've had to choose for ourselves, to decide for ourselves, yes, I want life in his name. Yes, I'm going to choose that name. Yes, I'm going to receive it. Those of you who are in school right now are wrestling with some of those sorts of things because your professor, you say to yourself, my professor said, but I was raised in church to think, or my parents said, but now I'm discovering these other things, and you're going to have to think about those things in your life and decide for yourselves, what is it I believe? Will I receive him? Will I choose my name or not? And once you have received it, you will choose again to receive it and choose again to receive it. Because maybe at 19 years of age, you said, I want that name. I choose to receive Jesus. I'm going to wear his name and wear it proudly. But at the age of 19, you didn't wrestle with the stuff that maybe at the age of 30 you're wrestling with. And now that's presenting challenges to this faith you have. And you must all over again receive the Lord and choose his name And those who believe are the children. Who are the children? It's not the natural children. It's those who receive him. It's those who believe in his name. It's not natural. And so we're, since, adopted children. We're adopted children. Tommy and Anissa can tell you all about that. They've just recently adopted Nevaeh. And there's something significantly different about being an adopted child. I mean, you can see naturally and have a child. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit, right? Whatever comes out, that's what you get. But they chose Nevaeh. God has chosen us. He has, in fact, come down and driven a stake for us, so that we can be his children, and we can receive him or not receive him, but we can be his children, not of natural descent. It doesn't matter how much of an outsider to the faith you are. It doesn't matter how much of an outsider to the faith you think you are. It doesn't matter what you have done in your past. It doesn't matter if you have a church background. You can be a child of God. This is what John is telling us at the beginning of the story. It has nothing to do with natural descent. If you're Jewish and you don't accept him, it doesn't matter. If you're born in church and you don't accept him and receive him, it doesn't matter. It comes to all who believe and receive his name. What matters is whether or not you will follow and accept the name at Jesus. Now, at some point, I would venture to guess that most of us in this room have already made that decision. We've held on to this stake that God has driven in the world. We are children of God. And John is reminding us, you are children of God. You bought into the story. So John reminds us once again, but some of you may be holding on to something else in your life. There's some other stake out there that's just so important to you, and you're just really, that's the thing that's sort of guiding and directing your life. And so I would ask you this simple question: will that thing hold up? Will it hold up when the doctor says cancer? Will it hold up when your 401k becomes a 201k? Will it hold up when he says to you, I want a divorce? When she says, I want a divorce? Will it hold up when they lay you off at work? When the wind starts blowing in your life, and you know, if you live long enough, you can be assured it will blow. When the wind starts blowing in your life, what is it you have this stake to hold on to that will give you an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade? John says, God broke down a stake, and you can be a child of God. Let's stand and sing.